City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Hi, we're here in the studios at Dakota Media Access, and it's Wednesday, November 29th. I'm Mary Van Sickle, and this is a Bismarck edition of City Current. So that means Jason Tomanek is here,
Hi,
Assistant
Mary.
City Administrator for Bismarck.
How are you today?
Good. And
Great.
Yourself?
Very well.
It's been a little bit of a gap.
Mm-hmm.
We had a few weeks off here, so we're back to it.
Yes.
And we had a city commission meeting last night that was interesting and jam-packed, and we have a lot of items to talk about today. Yeah. But before we get into last night's meeting, I just wanted to kind of touch on a couple things that happened at a previous meeting where we hadn't had a chance to talk since then. And one of them is the addition of an airport hotel that's coming our way.
That's right.
And the commission approved a lease.
A lease agreement, that's right, for a 3-acre site just off the south end of the runway. I guess the easiest way to say it is the intersection of University Drive and Airport Road.
Sure. I have a map up on Google Earth here that we can take a little look at. So, sorry, apologies to our KDAC radio listeners, but just wanted to show that location. Again, Jason, we're talking about a 3-acre parcel.
Right there.
Right there.
Got it. For the listeners on the radio, it would be the vacant lot that you would see just south of the convenience store. That's off the end of the runway. This is a piece of property that the airport has owned for site control to make sure that something doesn't end up there that would compromise airport operations. So the design of the hotel, the engineering, the architecture all has to fit within FAA regulations because this is part of the flight path. So there's some extra special design that needs to be taken into consideration here.
Sure. This is a fairly substantial hotel operation. We're talking about four rooms. I think it was 80 plus rooms.
Yep. Four stories.
Four stories. I'm
80 plus rooms. Yeah. and there's also a potential 1-acre site for a full service restaurant as well to complement the hotel features that are coming.
So very nice. So that's coming our way right now. Again, the lease has been approved, and the developer is now moving forward with engineering,
architecture, and all that. Yeah, and I believe their intention is to have an early 2018 spring construction for a 2019 occupancy and completion.
Well, we'll watch.
Look forward for some changes near the airport for sure.
Another item that happened again at the previous city commission meeting was a fairly in-depth discussion about the men's emergency shelter closing in Bismarck and the need that it's created in our community.
That's right. And I think it's appropriate to say this is a community issue. It's not just a Bismarck thing or a Mandan thing. This affects a lot of people in our region.
Right.
Still no definitive answers, no permanent solution. The first step is to find emergency temporary sheltering. And if that site could become something more permanent, certainly, we'd be looking at those opportunities. But for right now, it's just finding a spot to get people through the winter.
And for right now, the United Way has stepped forward with a couple other groups to to handle the men that have been displaced right now. But the
need
problem
is still there.
Is persisting, and we're seeing it, that discussion arising in a few different groups already. The Mandan Planning and Zoning on Monday night had a very in-depth meeting on this issue. They were going in for a
conditional use or a special use permit.
Special use permit, a zoning change, and that was unanimously turned down. Doesn't mean the community isn't recognizing the problem. It just wasn't the right place for it, apparently.
And I think it highlights the significant struggle that there has been to identify a site. That seems to be the biggest hurdle, is just where can this place be that is... Number one, it's in a location that doesn't have any unintended consequences, but also in a location that's close to services, because the individuals that would be taking advantage of this may need more than just housing. So it's finding a spot that can be kind of co-located. That's been the really challenging part to this point.
Well, and the other part of the discussion at the Bismarck City Commission meeting was we heard that there were a few churches that had moved forward and offered space, but it isn't quite that simple. There are some legal issues, insurance issues, things that have to be covered. You can't just open the door. As generous as the offer was, it wasn't quite that simple, unfortunately. Right. So they're back to the drawing board.
I'm confident that a solution will be discovered, hopefully in the near future.
And there is a committee, a coalition of people that have come together formally and now are meeting regularly
City Commissioner Nancy Guy is part of that conversation, along with United Way, the Missouri Valley Homeless Coalition, Youth Works. There's a number of local agencies that are really trying to find a solution.
It would be nice maybe when, hopefully, as alternatives become apparent and they identify some solutions, maybe Commissioner Guy could come in and talk at length about that, because I think everybody's watching this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a big issue. Yeah. So we'll bring it back.
Definitely.
As we have more information.
Hopefully we can have a positive result from all this work.
Okay. Well, let's talk about last night's meeting. There were a couple items on the agenda that had to do with liquor licenses. Mm-hmm. One of them was on the consent agenda. And what that means is that it was just approved to move forward, and it was a call for a public hearing, just an introduction.
An introduction. That's the right way to say
but
it.
But it was kind of interesting. The reason I bring it up is that it was calling for the creation of a new liquor license for the city of Bismarck. And it's a little unique. Explain a little bit about that.
Sure. And I guess just to start out, we don't create liquor licenses every day. This is not something that we traditionally get in the habit of doing. But we have a unique request from a local resident that has a business concept that we've not seen yet here in Bismarck. And this is something that works in other areas. I've done some research on my own. Nothing here in North Dakota that I'm aware of, but what the license is proposing is that it would be an adult arcade. So we're talking about pinball, video games, skee ball, all the things that you think about when
Pac-Man.
You think about an arcade, hopefully. but then also there is the adult component of this, and that's the 21 and upside. So he's looking to offer beer to patrons. So we don't have a license that fits that model. We just haven't had that type of request before. So the intent of this ordinance is to allow a 21 and up establishment where you can serve beer, but then the patrons can also play video games and enjoy some snacks and some food and things like that along the way. So the next step, the step last night was to call for the hearing, and the hearing will be held in 2 weeks. So December 12th, the public will have an opportunity to share their thoughts, their comments, their ideas, their support, any concerns. That's why we hold the hearings.
Okay. So next commission meeting,
this will
move forward.
Mm-hmm.
In one way or another.
The commission can decide to approve or they can deny the request if they're not comfortable with the way it's written.
Okay. So, and also last night on the regular agenda, two liquor licenses were approved.
Yes.
And these are two projects that are going to be co-located in North Bismarck, Aleworks and Bismarck Brewing. Otherwise known as Final Gravity, on their liquor license. Kind of exciting.
It is.
The Aleworks license has to do with a full liquor license. It'll be a big restaurant on the north end of Bismarck, and I've been watching it go up as I travel to and from Bismarck, and it's an impressive building run by the Bops, who also have Mackenzie River Grill.
Correct.
And it looks like a really nice facility. I know the Tribune did a really nice article the other day on the brew pubs in town, and kind of focused their attention a little bit on that. Mm-hmm. And up right now on our screen is a layout of Aleworks, and just kind of gives you an idea of the size of this place. It's a very large facility and kind of exciting. I think they've got a nice niche up in that north end of Bismarck.
Definitely. Yeah, they're going to pick up some business on the north side. This fills a spot that has never been touched before. My understanding is that it'll be a two-story building. You'll have the restaurant, family-friendly restaurant on the ground floor, and then you'll have the brew pub and the brewing facilities on the second level. So the licenses that were issued, of course, the first one would be for the ground floor. That's the restaurant and bar area. And then the second license is the Class O license. That's kind of a unique license. That's for the brew pubs, the smaller production facilities.
Bismarck Brewing.
Yep.
Final Gravity. They'll be up on the second level, you say?
That's my understanding, yeah.
And that liquor license that was approved last night is a brewing license and a beer-only license.
Correct.
So there is a difference between the liquor licenses. And on the screen now we have a little bit of a layout on the Bismarck Brewing operation upstairs. So, really exciting. They have an outdoor patio that'll be open this summer, and a large parking area, so I think it's going to serve a need up in that area of
good
another
visibility right
family
off of
restaurant.
State Street, just south of TSE. I think the official street address is 1100 Canada Avenue.
Okay.
But if anybody's been on the north side of town and wondered what's going on, just south of TSC.
So being this north is of it. The trampoline place
yep.
and south of
TSC,
Furniture Row.
South of Furniture Row, south of 57th Avenue.
Okay.
Yep.
There we go.
So right on the edge of city limits.
Go over to the trampoline place probably before you go over there. So a couple other items on the agenda last night. We had Gabe Schell, your mm-hmm. city engineer,
yep.
In front of the commission asking for permission to pursue some North Dakota Department of Transportation grants. Mm-hmm. And one of them was school signage.
Yes.
And this is on the tail end of this Safe Routes mm-hmm. to School study that was reported on, I believe, just at the last yep. meeting or two.
Yep.
Very big study that was done for Bismarck and Mandan mm-hmm. and Lincoln
right.
that identified some issues about our school areas mm-hmm. and the safety that
yeah.
that they may or may not have.
Right.
So Gabe's moved forward with some signage requests.
Correct. And I believe that would be for the 2019 implementation year. And really what they're looking at is, for the most part, speed limit signs in the areas of schools, letting motorists know that if you're in a school zone, it's 20 miles an hour. There's a couple other schools that have some unique constraints to them, Jeanette Myrie being one and Wilmore being the other. And if you think about those locations, they're next to some fairly busy roadways.
Right.
And we're asking students to cross 4th Street and Expressway. So in those locations, Gabe referred to them as dynamic signs. And I guess my understanding is that they will flash your speed as you go by.
They'll be
it'll be more than just a static reminder. It'll
yes.
be
hey, you're going too fast.
A bright light
slow down.
Type sign.
We do have up on the screen a listing of the schools and what type of signage, how many signs mm-hmm. that will be around each school. Static signs and then the, as you call them, dynamic signs, mm-hmm. but basically they just show you your radar.
Right.
Your speed yep. that you're going and yep. tell you to slow down.
Based on the roadways around the schools and how the schools are laid out, there are some schools that have as few as 8 signs and in some as many as 16 mm-hmm. signs. So not sure. every school has the same prescription, but definitely some safety improvements for the kids walking to school and for the motorists that are going by.
So the total request to the DOT will be for the $184,500 to do that total cost. And there's not any guarantee that funding will come through.
Correct.
And if it doesn't, then they'll whittle that down and prioritize the list.
Mm-hmm.
I think he said last night, more than likely, the dynamic signs, the radar
right.
signs might be the first likely thing that would have to be cut. Yeah. But hopefully all that will go through.
Mm-hmm.
Another request that Gabe made, again, for DOT funding had to do with safety again.
More safety.
And this one had to do with flashing yellow turn signals.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, we like those.
Yes.
Those are really nice to have.
Yep. Yeah,
and really what he was focusing on then are two intersections mm-hmm. in the city of Bismarck right now. They're kind
right.
of, there's been a few already done, but the next two on the list are up at on Century Avenue.
Century and Washington, and then just a little bit east of there at Century and 4th.
Okay.
And what they're also looking at doing is, I'm going to pretend to talk like an engineer here for just a little bit, but Gabe referenced negative offsets. And I guess on the screen we see it now, the intersection of Century and 4th. And what we're talking about with negative offsets are for motorists that are making that left-hand turn, recognizing that there's two lanes of oncoming traffic plus that turn lane, you'd see a reconfiguration of the median in that intersection area to allow those making the left-hand turn to better see that two lanes of oncoming
sure,
traffic.
Sure, it's a little more than a flashing yellow
right.
light, but that's
yeah.
what gets us all excited.
Yep.
But there is some modification to the medium, so
mm-hmm.
the turns will be smoother. Less
risky.
Risky.
Yeah.
yeah. Less.
Yeah. And,
less
and of course,
the
they would
of
have the protected green arrow during peak times of travel. And that's really what some of us making the left turns are looking for is
okay.
to have that indicator saying this is your opportunity to go free and clear, no oncoming traffic. So
okay.
I don't believe that would happen all day long, but it would be programmed at those peak travel times when they're most necessary.
Mm-hmm. So it's Century and Washington and Century and 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Again, those would move forward. Are we talking probably 2019 again?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing will happen immediately. And some of these projects were actually programmed out to 2021, 2022. And because of the need for the safety improvements, they're actually trying to prioritize them
a little sooner.
Right.
Okay. That's great. Also, part of that request was to do some modification of lighting on the 7th and 9th one-ways
right.
as well.
Yep. And what they're looking to do there is have more of a consistent pattern of lighting as you travel on the 9th and 7th Street corridors. if you travel it now, your eye has to adjust from time to time, depending on the spacing of the lighting and things like this. So they would be looking at removing all the existing street lights and then replacing those with not only new LED lights, but the frequency and
more
the pattern
balance
of those, right? So you don't have lighter and darker areas as you're moving. So it's easier on your eyes. It's easier to see pedestrians and other motorists. So your eyes aren't constantly adjusting to those changes.
Okay.
So
we'll keep our eye on that one too.
Yep. And you'll notice them. Those LED lights are definitely a different color. They're a little brighter. We're starting to see them in town, in other places as well. So
another project that Gabe spoke of to the commission about last night and destined for probably 2019 is the conversion of some of our two-way streets to three-way.
Three-lane.
Yep. And we're talking primarily on four different roadways
right.
in Bismarck right
and,
now
and we're
for
looking
that?
At a lot of the corridors, the north-south corridors. As we all know, getting north and south in Bismarck has its limitations. We just don't have some of those major thoroughfares that people would much rather see. But the areas that they're looking at are primarily north of Divide, Washington Street from Divide North, 4th Street from the area of Boulevard to Century Avenue, and then 19th Street from Divide North just up past Calgary Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea there is currently these are all two-lane streets, meaning there's one southbound lane, one northbound lane.
Right.
A three-lane conversion would mean that there would be a dedicated left turn lane down the center of that roadway section. So anybody looking to peel off of those north-south streets can get into a queue, into a turn lane. And then what that really does is it allows traffic to continue to flow at a fairly normal rate, and you're not jamming anybody up south or behind the person looking to turn left. So.
Well, and on the surface, I mean, I think most people welcome that opportunity. It kind of brings the pressure down on those streets. However, the devil is always in the details. So there are other considerations along these roadways that'll need to be fleshed out a little bit. And that's the need. And that requires public hearings and public input meetings that will result. So this is not by any means moving forward right now. It's going to be, as I understand, Gabe and his staff will go back now and make some recommendations, study the area, and come up with their list of recommendations for these four specific roadways, and then have some public input meetings from the people who are most affected that live in these districts or the general public as well.
And the commission was very keen to focus in on that public input opportunity because we can't make changes without hearing from people that use these corridors, expect certain things from these roadways. So methodical planning, certainly, a lot of research and a lot of study that needs to go into this. We don't just simply snap some of these decisions. And a lot of these safety improvements are based on studies that have been done in the recent past. So there are consulting engineers, consulting firms that look at these corridors very closely and then come back with recommendations. From there, city staff takes these recommendations and then starts to really work through the details. So that's what we're seeing now.
Yeah. And sometimes having to find the funds to make
it
happen.
That's always part
of it. But again,
the
devil's in the details. And with these particular roadways, we can see the potential for loss of on-street parking. There's a need for some bike paths. Where do they go? Pedestrian areas that need to be identified. So there's a lot of work that still needs to be done. But in general, this will help move traffic in a safer way.
Yep. That's the intent, is to move traffic and move it more safely.
Yeah. That's great. Jeff Heinz, Public Works Director, came forward with awarded some bids last night.
Yep.
Recommendations for that, and the commission moved forward. And so we're going to see some LED lights. You referenced them earlier.
I teased everybody by talking about LED. But yes, that's a project that the city's been working on for several years now. And what we're doing is basically taking the light fixture, the head of the light, and replacing it with a more energy efficient LED system.
That's an ongoing process.
It is.
You've been doing
that for a while. And there's areas of the community that have already been switched over. One of the easiest ways to tell is a lot of the streetlights have that kind of orange glow. That's from the metal halide bulbs. The LED bulbs is more of a white or a blue light. And all new parts of the community, any new subdivisions, any new construction areas that are where we're growing, those are LED right out of the gate. This is going back and, I guess, retrofitting or updating some of the existing lighting systems that we have in town.
So that effort continues as it moves forward.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that kind of exhausts most of the items we talked. We wanted to talk about on the meeting last night, but you and I had an opportunity to chat yesterday about elections coming up.
We're already talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's people might think, well, it's kind of early to talk about elections, but it's not if you're considering running for an office.
Right.
This is the time to start thinking about these things. Mm-hmm. And I think something that we've heard for years, especially in the most recent past and some of our recent elections, is we aren't attracting a lot of candidates for our open seats. Right. And that's not healthy for a community. So the earlier we can start talking about these things, I think the better.
Yep, definitely.
The city commission is an example. We have three positions that will be up on a five-seat commission.
Right, so we've got Commissioner Josh Askvig, Commissioner Nancy Guy, and then the president of the city commission, the mayor, Mike Seminary, are all up for re-election. The election will be June 12th of 2018, so that's a second Tuesday.
That's our primary.
That's the primary. That will also be the election for the school district, I believe, the park district, and the county's primary election will be that same day.
So it's not necessarily a primary for some of these races.
For some of these, it's the official one and only. Yes.
Right, exactly. So. And we're not having this discussion because there's any dissatisfaction with the individuals who are there, and the mayor has already said he's going to run again, and that's great. The idea is for a healthy community is to have choices and have options and have new leadership at times. So that's why we bring it up, and we wanted to bring to your attention a website that is very helpful, and that is our North Dakota Secretary of State's website, and that's nd.gov, or excuse me, I'm wrong about that. It's vote.nd.gov.
There you go.
And that is where you can find information on running for an office. If you go to that page there, you can find information for candidates. That's where you want to go. And it gives you the election calendars, and it gives you deadlines and timelines for filing your paperwork.
Yep.
Because there is some paperwork.
Absolutely.
So if someone is considering running for city, school, park, office,
county, all of them,
you have to start circulating petitions. So there's a requirement for you to get signatures that people are backing you as a, doesn't mean anything, doesn't mean they have to vote for you.
Right.
They just sign your petition. So there's a deadline for that. You can actually start circulating the petitions. You can get the petitions from
the Secretary of State's website.
Secretary of State's website.
We will have packets of information for anybody considering a run at City Commission as well. So we'll have those available at City Hall. They can come to the administration department, and we'll have that information is available too.
And after the first of the year, you can start circulating your petitions.
That's right. And you can only circulate them for a certain amount of time, though.
Right.
They're due to the city office, if you're interested in a City Commission spot. They're due to our office by 4 p.m. Monday, April 9th.
So you've got a few months, but yeah, the sooner the better to get on that. And then it depends upon, again, if you're running for legislature or something other than a city office, there's some different rules. But they're all fairly uniform here, and you can get that information on the website. So, and our general election will be November 6th in 2018. So that's when the county commission candidates that move through the primary will be elected legislators, and then there'll be some federal offices as well.
Definitely.
But again, it can't be too soon. There's different organizations in the area too that have training per se, if you want to call it that, for people who are considering. I know North Dakota Women's Network has done workshops for ready to run, they call that, and people can sign up, and men can sign up as well, to get an idea of what it's like to run for an office and what it means to serve.
Definitely.
And I think the other thing that we should mention, too, is that if you're curious about the process and what it's expected of someone serving, go to a meeting.
Absolutely.
That's where they take action. Yep. And we provide coverage here at Dakota Media Access of tons of meetings, almost 250 a year, live meetings that we cover and record and then archive online. So if you go to our website, you can watch those meetings as well. Yep. DakotaMediaAccess.org or FreeTV.org. We go by both. Go in there and watch those government meetings. You get a little idea of the work that's involved.
Definitely. And it's the work doesn't stop when the meeting is over either.
No.
You can ask any of the commissioners. They're basically available to the public all the time. We get calls very often at the administration department saying, I'd like to speak with the mayor. I'd like to speak with Commissioner so-and-so. None of the commissioners nor the mayor hold a full-time office at City Hall, but that doesn't mean you can't get in touch with them. So we're happy to help facilitate those conversations. But the commissioners are there for the public. That's your opportunity to reach out to the people that make the change.
And every one of these commissions or boards have a different focus, obviously. Mm-hmm. School board, park district, city commission. But there's homework involved with all.
Definitely.
And people shouldn't enter this into it lightly, of course. Mm-hmm. But if you are interested at all, there's a process here.
Definitely.
And there's people that will help. I know the Chamber of Commerce has had workshops and have been out talking with candidates at times. And there is information available. And once you declare your candidacy and your papers are filed, then there's a process of the campaign.
Absolutely.
We've worked for many years with the League of Women Voters in conducting candidate forms. And those candidate forms are also stored on our website.
Yep.
You can go back and watch those and say, well, what does that mean? What does it look like?
Mm-hmm.
Watch those candidate forms. You really have an idea of what that looks like. But that's not the only place voters get information.
Right. Yep.
I mean, the Tribune does a good job in creating a profile on all their all the candidates for various offices before elections. So you can expect to be exposed somewhat.
Definitely.
And in that process, but it's rewarding if your heart's in the right place and there's a lot of great people in the community, and this is the time to start thinking about that.
Definitely. Yeah. If you want to help Bismarck get better, help the community grow, if you've got an idea of what Bismarck should look like in the future, then definitely take a consideration.
And we've talked about this before, and I talked about it with Mandan Administrator Neubauer last week, and that is that there are boards and committees that the city operates and needs volunteers for.
Definitely.
So if you're not sure you want to run for an elected position, there are appointed positions that you can throw your hat in the ring, so to speak, or contact the city and say, I'd really like to sit on that forestry board, or I'd like to be on the Planning and Zoning Commission. Whatever it might be aware of that. That's a good starting point to get your feet wet and really understand the nuts and bolts of what the functions of this various functions
process
are.
And just civic engagement. It's
Absolutely.
Always nice to see people that are willing to step up and take action and be a part of their community.
Right.
Everybody's busy. We're all busy. I understand that. But if you are interested in being a part of this, give us a call. We'd be happy to help you find a spot that fits for you.
Yeah. Well, I think we've exhausted and pushed our election.
I think we've done it for now. I'm sure we'll talk about it again as we get closer.
As these deadlines start approaching, we will definitely bring that back to the City Current. But a couple things before we leave. You have a ITG meeting, City
Intergovernmental Committee is what that acronym stands for. And it's basically a representative from all four political subdivisions in Burley County. So it's Burley County, Bismarck Public Schools, Bismarck Parks and Rec, and then City Commissioner Steve Marquardt leads that group. So it's a nice opportunity for those four political subdivisions to get together and talk about all the things that are going on in their arenas and move forward on some collective decisions.
And that's Thursday night. Again, just a reminder, we're recording this on Wednesday, the 29th. Mm-hmm. This would be Thursday night.
The 30th.
Yes, at City Hall. So you can go into the meeting. We do carry it live. Tune in to our channels on cable at 2 and 602 in HD to watch that meeting. There's always a lot of good information there. Anything you want to say about snow?
Not yet.
We don't want to talk about it.
A year ago, we had a lot of it. I'll say that.
But what we do want to mention is people to get their boats and trailers,
Off the streets.
Again, get those off the street now.
Put them into storage, park them someplace else, because we do need that space to move snow and store snow.
Public Works will be out removing snow.
It
so
will
let's make it easy for them.
We will have snow. There's no question about it.
Point.
It's just a matter of when.
Well, thanks, Jason. We covered a lot of stuff again. So appreciate it. And we'll see you again in a couple weeks.
Sounds great.
All right.
Thank you.
And thank you for watching this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, you can contact the City of Bismarck at bismarcknd.gov or by calling 701-355-1300. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.